When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go! Woo!
My first EDM festival. Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Steve, a.k.a. Watch the Knees, and here's my boy, Jess. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neve, aka Watch with Neve, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka Jazzkatan.
Jazzkatan.
AKA the Bokatan.
I love it. Because, like, I didn't expect to see her this episode, but, like, damn.
She's a little depressed right now. She's not feeling herself right now at the moment.
We'll get into it. Explain the whole situation.
Well, even if it is feeling herself, our homie Halalipop, what up?
Yo, what's up? What's up? What's up? Salam Nerds. How are you all?
Welcome back.
Thanks. And Grogu's here too. I don't know if you can see.
Shout out to Grogu.
Oh, we can see Grogu.
I got the Mandalorian right here in the back over here. The little listen, colorful
it's a,
one.
It's a family affair.
I just got a shirt on.
Jazz got the Star Wars shirt on. Let's go. We're excited, man. This is going to be a fun episode.
Sweet.
So this is a special episode because Halalipop was our first guest. And we talked about.
Ever.
Yeah, the first guest ever. Remember we talked about Star Wars and our main topic was, are the Mandalorians really hijabis? Which is still to this day my favorite topic we've ever covered on this show. It was so good. And if you can, go and find that episode because we had so much fun discussing that. That was so wild.
So much. So much. Like we were all convinced the Mandalorians were Muslim. This is like canon now. Like every Muslim's like, yes, I'm represented in the Star Wars universes. Here it is. But like, that stuff was serious.
I know.
Apostate? We talked about apostates, right?
I did. Like,
we did. And what is this episode called?
Oh, the apostate.
The apostate.
That's so funny. And we also talk about, like, you know, doing getting ghosts and, like, how you have to go bathe in the rivers.
Oh, my God.
We were so right.
The parallels are there.
Oh, my God.
Like, the only way to be forgiven is to, like, go into, like, this nuclear holocaust of a planet and, like, bathe in, like, you know, the three fish-eyed river, whatever, and
some water.
Get Dougal. Oh my God! Yeah, exactly. That's wild. That's wild.
The parallels are wild, man. This is a fun show to watch. But yeah, when we broke that down, that exciting. That podcast really took off, and I shared it with so many people. It was really, really fun.
I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me back. It's so great to talk with the both of you.
Yeah, of course, man. We love having you back. It's exciting to talk to one of our favorite Star Wars nerds and just, you know, shoot the man. Let's just go into it.
Let's do it.
This episode starts off with the armorer, and she is christening some young boy with the new Mandalore helmet, which was looking kind of fresh in that powder baby blue. I was like, whoa, that's a nice looking helmet. But I swear to God, I was convinced of the flashback. I had no idea.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
I was
like
this is Din Djarin, right?
I thought that too. I'm like, this boy is a little white to be Din Djarin, but okay.
I was like, oh, they couldn't find a Latino boy. Okay, fine, you know, whatever. But then when Din Djarin shows up and like gets this like sea dinosaur, my jaw dropped. I was so shocked when that
when
happened.
When I saw that giant crocodile, I'm like, what is this, the Florida of the Star Wars world?
Quite literally. Oh, my God.
The CGI was pretty good, though.
What?
I was like, wow. Is this a dinosaur, an alligator? What is this? It's so strong.
Uh-huh. I really liked that the way it was, like, turning over, because that's how alligators really, like, go after their mm-hmm. prey. What they do is, like, they'll bite mm-hmm. them yeah. and then do these little cartwheels and snap their necks. And you saw him do that. That was wild.
So wild.
Oh, my yeah. God. That was, yeah. that was. And then you saw a few other Mandalorians. Paz Vizsla was there. The armor was there. And you can see them. They were struggling. Mm-hmm. They were struggling to get the crocodile, alligator.
So I thought this was, like, a really interesting setup, right? Because you didn't know, like, where, like, in the timeline this was, right? Like, was this, like, you know, way back when? Or, as we learned watching, like, this is, like, present day yeah, yeah. in the Mandalorian, like, story, whatever. But, like, I really liked how, like, it was very ceremonial and solemn. Yeah. And there were, like, words to recite. And mm-hmm. then he was reciting them back. And then when, like, she was going to pour the water on his head to say, like, the helmet's never going to come off. And I was like, oh, Din Djarin never, like, completed the oath.
Yes,
so maybe,
that, no.
like, you know, like, yep. look at this. But that was a different, no. like, a different foundling.
It was
so.
Just a little boy yeah. having his akika and whatever it was.
Oh, my, yeah, that's right.
That's the way to put it.
Oh, my God.
I'm dead.
Yeah. But then. The warriors, they all, like, kind of, like, you know, had stage fright, and they all, like, froze. Like, they're having a difficult time
yeah.
with the sea monster.
They had a tough time with the sea monster, and, like, Din Djarin, like, killed, like, 4 or 5 sea monsters by now. So, I was like, come on.
Easily.
Come on, man. You guys got to step up your game. But she was not impressed. She was like, yeah, you saved us, but, like, you still took off your helmet, so I'm not
yeah, one of us.
Here.
Haram.
You can't sit with us.
You can't sit with us. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Oh my God.
No.
That was wild.
Fake hijabi. That's what she said. Fake hijabi.
Straight up.
I can see some of your hair. It's not. What's that line that, like, oh, hijabi women get? Wear it right or don't wear it at all. That's what they say.
Well, that's exactly what the armorer said.
Basically.
Yeah, she's like, what's even worse? You did this of your own free will. Like, well, then, you know, fine.
Yeah. Yo, that's so true. The parallels are so wild.
Yep. I can't okay. get over it. I'm trying to think of things to say, and I'm just like, that's so funny.
it's wild. Yeah. But apparently, he's like, what if the minds exist, right? And then she's like, yeah. that's impossible. They're gone. And he's like, I found this little rock and somebody got it from the surface.
The obscure hadith from this book that's buried under Samarkand and nowhere else. There's, like, it's Sahih, I swear, you know, and I have, here's the dalil of this hadith, and that's what that was. That's what he did there. Yeah. And I respect that. He did his research.
Oh, my God.
And that's why dogs are allowed in Islam.
Depending on your mother. Mm-hmm. Follow it, be back. I was actually seeing a girl, and she chose her mother based on which ones allow dogs.
So she's Maliki.
She's Maliki.
Got it.
She was like, she was Hanafi, and she switched to Maliki because she's like, I gotta have a dog, man. I gotta have a dog.
Wow. Listen, people have their things.
Oh, but that's basically what the Mandalorian did for Grogu. Like, I gotta have Grogu.
Yeah,
but here's the difference, though. He didn't change the madhab, right? And
no.
like, I know we're going in order of like the storyline as it's unfolding, but later when he speaks to Bo-Katan and she's like, you extremists and you like little sects and blah blah blah,
yeah.
which, you know, we have a lot of that discussion amongst Muslims as well, you know, talking about people who are like super strict or whatever. He never said like, no, I'm gonna like be your kind of Mandalorian. She thinks he's still the crazy Mandalorian type, and he's like, no, I'm still like a very strict religious Nagabi,
yeah.
you know, and I'm gonna be a Nagabi for my life, and to maintain my Nagabi status, I'm gonna go back to the planet with my little sword. So, you know, like, he's just like, no,
yeah.
I'm still Hanafi, I'm on the way. This is the way, you know,
this
like, he was very serious about that.
Right.
Like, he was
we do
on
have
it.
To make some clarifications, because majority of our followers, surprisingly, are not Muslims. So we're going to go back and talk about it. So, madhabs are...
Listen, welcome to Sunday school, y'all, all right?
Teaching y'all about Islam. We're trying to... We're going to convert y'all.
Creeping Sharia.
Jeff, how...
Star Wars Sharia.
Jeff, how would you describe a madhab to white people? I don't know how to describe it. Like,
oh, it's, man, like, it's not even a sect. It's a school of thought within a sect, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way I can explain it.
It's flavor, all right? Yeah. Like, you have the Baptists, sure, you have the Southern Baptists, you have, you know, Catholics, you have Orthodox, you have Greek Orthodox, basically. Russian Orthodox. They're all different flavors of Christian. It's like that in a song,
yeah,
too.
So but basically, like, just, even in Mandalorian, there's the Children of the Watch, and then there's whatever Bo-Katan is, and there's one that, though, basically, he's a different one, right? And we talked about Hadiths. Hadiths are basically, like, observations or witnesses that have witnessed these things or recollections, right? And they can be traced back. So just want to fill people in who probably missed out on those jokes. But
they're oral traditions, right? The stories that have been passed by millennia, for millennia. Yeah.
Yes. So we now learn that their home planet is not only gone, but also poisoned. So that's what they really meant by it's gone. So it's still there. It's just poisoned. No one can live there. So we get to find that out, which is a new thing. And he goes, I'm going to go and bathe in these rivers. I'm going to find them. And she's like, okay, if that's the... She's very by the book. She's, the Salafi, where she's like, okay, written in the book.
The armorer?
Yeah, the armorer.
Oh, Wahhabi.
Yeah.
She's like, well, that's what it says. You can be restored. I can't argue with it. She's like, that's the literal translation. Fine, then go do
it. That's the way. Very literal, right? Very, very literal. Yeah,
yep, no, that's why I say Wahhabis.
Yeah, no Wahhabis. There's no gray area.
Straight up by the book.
By the books, literal translations. Yeah. So he goes and he gets to where Bo-Katan is. Did he go to Bo-Katan first, or did he go to the other place, Navarro?
He goes to Navarro first. Let's talk about the high magistrate's outfit. Okay?
Yo, he had the drip.
Because, ooh, he was so fly.
That was a Sherwani if I ever saw one with a cape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he had the two little droids, which, according to Sunnah, not dragging on the ground. All right, it's like dragging him over. Listen, Muslim. This is all a whole Muslim verse over here.
This whole episode is
a conspiracy.
This whole episode is so Muslim. So we go to Navarro, and then we see this statue of our homie, who RIP, IG-11. And we're like, oh, I forgot about him. And Taika Waititi, who was the voice of that. And we're like, that droid really came through. And then he goes and he meets the magistrate. Hi, magistrate. You have to make sure you say that. And then they kind of just have a discussion, and he's like, listen, there's all this land and you can just live here and be at peace and be with your little child and, you know, be our marshal. And that's all you have to do. You can have everything you want. That was a good deal. I'm surprised he didn't take it.
This is a test, all right? God says he's going to test you with wealth and with children and with power. And you know what? The Mandalorian, true to his belief, is like, no. This is not the way.
This is not the way.
That way. This is the way right there.
That is true. That is true.
I also thought it was like super interesting, right? Because like when we first see Navarro in season one, right? It's like this podunk outpost and like people are scared. And now it's like very rich and wealthy. And you see like it flourishing and being like a completely different place, you know? And the pirates are there and like, you know, there's all these like undercurrents, you know, they're setting up like the rest of the season, obviously. So I thought that like, it was just like visually very fascinating. And like when I rewatched the episode, I'm definitely going to spend a lot more time like watching those scenes. It was really beautiful.
Oh, it really was.
Definitely. There's one thing I want to mention before I forget, because talk about Navarro, right? When they're flying to Navarro in their ship and they're in hyperspace, see Grogu looking at the stars. There was something really cool that they put in the back there. Mm-hmm. And those were space whales.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all caught that.
Yeah. It was really cool.
So space whales were from the Clone Wars, right? I believe like they traveled.
Rebels.
Rebels. Yes, they were in Rebels.
Oh, Rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they traveled through light speeds. Yeah. Very, very
cool. Now, why is that exciting? Because we may see our boy Ezra.
Yes, but not in this show. I think we're going to see him in Ahsoka.
I know. I think they're trying to build it up and hint toward it. And so see these little Easter eggs.
Right.
It's happening.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely got the impression that there are a lot of Easter eggs in this episode. And obviously, we're going to figure out as they, you know, appear.
But Grogu doesn't even do anything in this episode, but so cute. So cute. You see him spinning in the chair.
Hello. Okay, that was really cute when he was spinning in his chair. It. But like when he started grabbing the droid mechanics.
Oh yeah.
He was like, yoink.
Yoink. They're like,
I
no,
wanna give
like,
a hug.
Bad baby. Bad baby. Oh man. Even though he's like 50 years old.
It was so cute.
He's
he
very
is
cute.
50. He's not a baby. I don't know if you're saying he's a baby.
So when the armorer said to Din Djarin, like, you are an apostate, you're not a Mandalorian anymore, like, Grogu turns and was like, what? Like, that was, like, really cute.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really, really cute. He's definitely more emotive in this season, which I'm glad.
That is very true. That is very true. So, like, the Mandalorians, they can't even take off their helmets in front of other Mandalorians. So, like, they're even more strict than hijabis, because hijabis can take off in front of other women. So they can't even do that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering as I was watching the episode, like, I guess they can't take it off in front of children either.
Yeah, I don't know how that makes sense, though, because Grogu the child, he should get the pass.
Well, so Din Djarin took off the helmet twice, right?
Once he had
to. Once and for, like, the stormtrooper, like, disguise. To save that other guy, and then the second time because he was saying goodbye to
Grogu,
his child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I think what is it? The Children of the Watch? They're way stricter, I think, than even Wahhabists, because like, a Muslim woman, a hijabi, could remove her hijab to save her life. You know,
that is true.
Not according to like the super strict Wahhabist Mandalore.
Yeah, the space Taliban. You can't fuck with them.
Are you calling Din the Taliban?
I mean,
the armor definitely is, I guess.
Oh man! All right, so Grogu's chilling in the chairs and just hanging out, and then the pirates show up, which I'm really excited for because pirates were a big part of Clone Wars. You see them in a lot of Clone Wars episodes. They're like the main pirate who you see in everything. I forgot his name, but
Hondo.
Oh my god, if they show Hondo, I'm going to flip my shit. That'd be so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The pirates are very...
They're definitely the same race, like the guy at the let
go. Yeah, the Vane or whatever.
100%. Yeah. Vane. He's definitely the same race as Hondo. Yeah, so. Yeah.
And then the other guy who comes at the end was like very much like Blackbeard from the, what do you call, Curse of the Pearl.
From Pirates
of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was like this shaggy green, like seaweed monster, like Sesame Street
kind of.
Yeah,
we had the octopus form.
Yeah, instead of the octopus, it was like a hedge or something.
Oh, but they did have like an octopus guy in like one of the guys that like Mando shot.
Oh, yeah, they did. You're right.
Yeah, so he had like octopus tentacles coming out of his face or whatever.
Also, did you guys notice how they wrote off Clara Dune? She got recruited by Stoneblade, blah blah blah.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
That was so appropriate. I was like, that's a very good way to tie that up.
They're like, we're just gonna throw one line for the anti-Semite who just like, that's what you get.
What a waste.
I know.
What a waste.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Rip.
And then they did mention Moff Gideon, so Moff Gideon is held on somewhere.
Yes.
I'm excited to see Moff Gideon.
I'm hoping Moff Gideon makes an appearance.
Me too.
I loved Moff Gideon.
So good. So talented. But that guy is like in everything, man. He's probably in like so many things. There's rumor he's going to be the new Professor Xavier. He's in the Boys. He's doing voiceover work. That guy gets so much work, man. I'm surprised he has time to do this.
Yeah. No, he's super talented, super charismatic. Yeah. Like, you feel like he's a villain, you know? And that's kind of what you want. You want someone to hate. You know, he's super cool.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
Very true, very true. Yeah. Then Din Djarin is like, listen, I need that statue. So we got to figure out how to get that statue. So
that was so wild. That was, okay, this is also like a super, super, super like Muslim thing, but also very like Mandalorian thing where it's like, no. Nothing else is going to work but this specific thing from this specific place. I don't want a copy. I don't want a duplicate. I don't want the bootleg. This one. And like, I thought it was hilarious when the statue was like half dismantled. That was really funny.
And the fact that it wasn't even a statue, they used the real parts from the actual thing for part of the statue. I thought that was pretty funny. So they try to rewire him. Din Djarin is like a tech whiz now all of a sudden. And he's like, he goes from, I hate droids, I don't trust them, to like, let me fix them up myself.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like, he doesn't trust droids. He doesn't trust any droid. It's like, right. This is the one droid
Droid he trusts. Yeah, that is true.
I need him back.
That is true. Mm-hmm. It's like when, like, you feed those, like, Muslims in those movies, and they make friends with, like, one American, and he's like, all right, I trust you.
This is my American.
This is my one white person, like, nobody else.
We all get
like,
one white person. That's what we all get.
That's it. That's it. And sorry, number two white person, you can't join.
You just can't be trusted.
You can't sit with us.
You can be friends, we just can't trust you. We can only trust one.
Right.
You only have trust for one white person in our hearts.
Oh. Yeah, and then what happens with the number one droid?
He starts attacking him. He starts going after Grogu.
That was he reverted to his original programming.
Yeah.
Like before he met them. He's like, oh, okay, I'm a killer now again.
Can't even trust the droids, man. What's the world coming to?
Which, what I really enjoyed about that scene was, like, it was another statue that, like, took it out, right? Like, very poetic.
Yeah.
But also, like, the fact that there are protocol droids in Navarro. Like, imagine that Navarro is so rich that you have protocol droids. Mm-hmm. You know? And that was, like, obviously from, like, the original trilogy, you know, and then in Clone Wars and whatnot. Like, there different droids have different functions, right? And, like, this is, like, elite creme de la creme. Useless droid to help make people like feel happier or whatever. So I thought that was really interesting. And I'm wondering if we're going to see more like gentle, sarcastic droids like 3PO.
You know what? It also brings the point that there's so many people coming to Navarro. It's becoming like a trade place because they need droids to translate so many different languages. It's like the mecca of the Outer Rim right now. Whoa.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Look at that.
Dang.
I'm not even trying, man. They're just coming. They're just so easy. It just falls into place.
Who's the Muslim writer on the staff? We need to come.
Right, I need to know.
Please.
Hold up.
There is a Muslim writer.
Mandalorian.
There is a Muslim writer on the Mandalorian. Writers. I know this because he tweeted it. He's the same guy who wrote for Ms. Marvel. He wrote the Partition episode of Ms. Marvel. And he also writes for Bad Batch, I believe. But I think he only wrote one episode. It might not be this one.
Okay.
All right. So we go and IG goes through with all programming. And like you mentioned, the other droid throws the statue on top of him.
That's very good.
That's using your head, which I thought was a clever liner. Then they bring in these little aliens, the Unzelans, I believe. What they're called, and they're like the best fixtures in the world.
The Unzelans.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And like, they're like immigrant shop owners. We're like, no good. We don't. it's like going to like the Punjab Auto Center.
Exactly. Like under the Queensboro Bridge. Like, this is where all immigrants went to get their cars fixed.
Yes.
You know, back in the day. Like, exactly.
And then Grogu
drives back to. One of the most famous Unzelans, his name is Babu Frick.
Yeah, Babu Frick.
Babu! Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Babu.
Like,
okay,
they're not even trying.
So Babu, for those who are not on this, he means, like, baby or, like, a name you give to, like, something really cute. So, like, you would call Grogu, like, a Babu, like, a little baby.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
That's so funny. There's so many, like, similarities. This is hilarious.
And the more we think about it, the more it's coming
Babu
up.
Babu was also a name. Remember Babu Bot from Seinfeld?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like Jerry Seinfeld, you bad man. You tell me make Pakistani restaurant. Nobody come to Pakistani restaurant. Oh, man.
Rip.
Oh, man. All right. And now we have the standoff, which the Mexican standoff with the pirates, Din Djarin, and the high magistrate. And he's like, you've gone soft. Like, oh yeah, you want to see? He's like, I still got my gun on me. He's like, I'm still that bitch, man. I'm still that bitch. You don't want to mess with me. And then
it was such a cool callback to like that one scene with Han Solo in the original trilogy.
Oh, the Han shot first one.
Yeah. Because like the more we see these scenes. It's like the more they're confirming that Han shot for
it.
So it's
like, damn. No, that's me.
Well, I also thought it was a good like throwback to the Boba Fett show with was it Kane
Yeah.
Kane and
Cad Bane.
Was it Bob? Cad Bane, right. And the other person where they were like playing chicken. And then, you know, I was like, oh, we really like these like tense, stressful things. Like this episode was so short, but it had like a million things happening in it.
Yeah.
It was like a pirate Western. It was awesome. Just crazy.
Yeah. This show is definitely a Western, a space Western, right? Like it's super fun.
100%.
Yeah. No, that was really fun. And then Mando kills like four of their dudes. And then the guy's like, they let him go. It's like, he's going to tell them what's up. And like, it was cool that they like, he has these new morals where he's like, that's a school. We can have a drink somewhere else. We can do our business somewhere else. That's a school. You cannot go into here. So he had like this level of like, you know, consciousness where he's like, hey, we can't let this place be what it used to be. You know, a place for scum and villainy. It needs to be something better. And it really, it's flourishing and doing so much better because of it. So when people are behind something, like an idea or a movement, they show how much it really works. And I thought that was really cool.
Just like the Middle East.
Hey. Oh. That is true.
are we calling Navarro like the Dubai of like the Outer
Rim? That's the way I see it now.
Old Dubai. Yep. Not the new Dubai where it's all just like expats who are just there for debauchery.
Okay, so the new Dubai is like Coruscant, okay? Like, I get it.
So. fair. Oh, man. All right.
Oh, my God.
So Mando leaves, and he goes to Bo-Katan. He's like...
Okay, but before he gets to Bo-Katan, he's teaching Grogu. Like, here's how you do this, and here's what this means, and here's what this gauge means. And I was like, that is so cute. What a dad thing to do.
That is a very dad thing. But I do have a question. I have a very important question. Grogu's in this little bubble, and then he's with Jin Daren. Is there like a little tunnel from the bubble to the main cockpit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he like slides. Yeah.
Want to see that. I want to see him slide down a little cockpit slide.
No, it's like when you're a little kid in a car. Like, you take your seatbelt off and go to the back seat, then you come to the front seat.
Okay.
Just bothering your parents while they're driving.
It looks separated to me because there's like a big distance. But if there's a little chute that goes in there, that's great.
I was paying attention to that too because I was like, what? Why does Grogu keep moving around? I was actually thinking, right, like, poor Razor Crest, right? Like, totally annihilated. And then Mando gets this new ship, which is like awesome or whatever. And I'm just like, does he feel claustrophobic? Because he can't walk around. Like, you're just like in the cockpit, like a fighter jet. And you can't move.
I know.
Like, that's it.
I know. There was one scene where I thought Mando was sleeping. I was like, is he still up? I can't tell with the helmet. man. No. That's true. That's good. I'm glad you brought that up. Totally forgot about that. All right.
Well, hang on.
What else?
What happened right after? That amazing fight scene, the dog fight between Mando.
Doesn't that happen after he leaves Bo-Katan?
No, it happened before. Bo-Katan was the very end of the episode.
Bo-Katan was the very end, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he was on his way to Bo-Katan
when
he got some bogeys. And he's like, this is what this sensor means, this is what this means, and this is the enemy proximity alert or whatever
it was
like flashing red.
That's
and
when...
then they're all concerned and then what happens?
Oh, and then
that dog fight, it was so beautiful.
That was really, really good. That was some like Top Gun shit, which was really, really fun to
see.
Yes.
I almost wish I saw that in theater because that would be so cool to watch.
That would be such a cool scene to see in theater.
Yeah, in IMAX.
The graphics, the visuals, the way the light shone off like each of the metal parts of all the planes.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a well-done scene, and I loved it.
And then when you find out that he actually led him into a trap, you're like, oh. Because you're thinking, like, the Mandalorian is outsmarting all of them. Wow, he's so good. And then you're like, never mind. He fell for a trap.
Yeah.
But then he's like...
But it was also, like, very, like, hearkening back to all of the movies where, like, the underdog is, like, pinned against this big, massive threat, and you don't know what's going to happen. And then he figures out a way. He figures out a way to get himself out of that situation.
I mean, you push really the hyperspace button.
Yeah, he just went like, yoink.
but not only did he like click on that button, But it was a teaching moment for Grogu. Never trust a pirate.
That's true.
Number one. But number two, he aimed directly at the mothership.
Mm.
So they couldn't even target their weapons on him because then it would have
very true.
Very bad.
Also, he taught him smart. That it's okay to run away sometimes, man. You don't gotta, you don't gotta be,
pick your battles.
Yeah, pick your battles. Sometimes you just gotta walk away. And that is healthy masculinity, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, agreed.
That's right. That's right.
That's what Din Djarin is really teaching Grogu: healthy masculinity. We love that. All right. All right. So he goes and sees Bo-Katan. Now we're at Bo-Katan, right?
Yes. Okay. Now we got to the planet.
Yes.
Now we're at
Caraballo.
So teaching moment. Caraballo. He's like, "This is a Mandalorian castle."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What? There are castles in this show? I love castles."
I know.
So I was very pleased with that line.
I like that.
It's Agrabah.
Prince Jarin, Ali Alin, Ali
Oh my god. Does that make Grogu a princess? Maybe.
Make them Abu.
Oh my god.
The monkey. The Razor Crest is the carpet. Like, it's just all coming together.
Oh my god. Yeah. I mean, it's a Disney product.
It is a Disney product.
Disney property. So
that is
fits. It fits. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yes.
That's
man. All right. So he goes to. Bo-Katan's not looking too high. She's over there on a throne of emptiness, just sitting on a throne of nothing. And she's like, just like, yep, nothing's here. Nothing's going on. And he's like, where is your army? Like, they left because you have the sword. They really care about this sword. Damn.
Because they're Salafis. Even if they don't wear hijab, okay, they have iman.
That's
iman means faith. They have the belief, all right?
That is true. They're like, nope, he has it. We have to follow this person.
Hijab does not define my religiosity, okay? So just all of you, that's what the Mandalorian is saying.
He does. He's like, did you leave them? He's like, nope, I'm still with them. He's like, oh, okay, but now I need to bathe in these waters so that I can go back to them. But she's like, why don't you go and lead Mandalore? Take your sword, wave it around. They'll do whatever you say.
Yeah, that was really funny. I'm sure they wanted to say other things. So yeah, so like you have this like grand palace and like it's empty, like you said. And she's just like sulking on the throne. And I was thinking to myself, like, what a stark scene, right? Because it's like empty. And, you know, it's kind of cool to see like, you know, we see a lot of Mandalore and Clone Wars and stuff. And you see palaces, but it's not the same seeing animated versus like live action, right? And you're like, I was like, she got up, got dressed, put on her armor, and then just decided to sit on the throne. Fuck. Like, if I was depressed like that, I would stay in bed. Like, it was just like such a like, who does that? So like, to me, I thought that scene was like a really great way to show like her ego is still very much intact.
Yeah.
But she's having a sulk. You know, and like maybe she's just been sitting there every single day waiting for him to show up. I don't know. Like,
no, I think
gotta be ready. I think for the prophet.
I think when he broke the atmosphere, he had to tell them that he was there to see somebody. So
right.
She could have gotten she's like, oh, I need to put on my armor and sit there. Now
Let's go.
Him.
I'm gonna I can't be in pajamas.
I gotta show him how bitter I am, and it's all his fault that my army is gone. It's all his fault by winning that damn freaking sword.
I don't know. Right. I'm actually with her. You know why? You know what they say. If you're depressed, I'd rather cry in a Ferrari than cry in bed.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I mean, she has a throne, so she could do
she
that.
She does. She does. Well,
a throne to nothing, but it's a throne.
But she's not the real ruler. She sits on a throne of lies.
She does.
Right.
But
right.
Mandalorian's like, here, you can have it. I don't want it. And she's like, no.
Right.
You win it.
Right. Right. So
then
so,
despite
she probably can't take it.
Yeah, but she's well, so there's that, right? Like there has to be like a fight and you have to win it properly, like which we saw in the Boba Fett, which like his homie tried to take it from him. But like I also thought like Bo-Katan being like very forthcoming with information was super sus because she does not seem very trustworthy and she's like, okay, well, the mines are in this part of this city and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, she's setting him up, right?
Whoa.
Or like, she's going to, like, this entrapment or whatever it is. Or I don't know. It made me feel very uncomfortable. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
It could eat.
Well,
go ahead, Jess.
The city they mentioned was the city of Sundari. And That's the city in the Clone Wars. I know this is more muscle references, but like in the Clone Wars, this was a capital city where we saw Obi-Wan and God, why can I remember her name? She was the queen.
Yes.
That Obi-Wan loved, but
yes.
You know,
yeah, we know who you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Her aunt or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is the city he's going back to. And Bo-Katan might still think it's poisoned and that he'll never survive. And so she's like, yeah, go, whatever. I don't care about you anymore. I don't care if you live or die. There's the info. Do what you want with it.
She didn't seem as apathetic as like she played herself to be. But yeah, what are you going to say, Neebs?
I was going to say, like, it's got to be two things, right? Either she has something up her sleeve where she's going to have somebody steal the sword from him and that she can kill that person and take the sword.
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm.
What do you mean no?
That's not how it works.
No?
If the sword is stolen, then they're not the rightful ruler. And even if she bites the person who stole the sword, they don't get to claim it.
I thought
you have to win it in battle. You have to challenge the owner of the sword.
Is that 100% true? Because I know somebody found it from hit it. What's that red guy? Darth Maul. I think Darth Maul had hit it, and then somebody from Rebels actually stole it from him. Is that not true?
No, I mean, yeah, but still, you have to win in combat to be a ruler.
I don't think Sabine won it in combat. I don't know. We'll see. Sabine would be someone cool to see, though. Sabine Wren? I don't know.
So the timeline wouldn't add up because Din Djarin exists in the time of Boba Fett. And this would have had to have been before the clones. And Rebels happened 5 years after all that.
Yeah, but she could still be alive, just older.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
No, actually, she is coming. I heard that they already casted somebody for her.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
this is amazing.
Yeah,
I love Sabine.
I know. I was hoping Sabine would be like a Muslim girl because Sabine is the Muslim name. I was like, oh, hoping.
So I would just like to point out, Sundari is like a different way of saying a Bengali word, Shundari, which means a beautiful woman.
Yep.
So like a beautiful woman, beautiful city. You know, I'm just like, oh, okay, like this is that.
It's not a stretch. It's not a stretch. I see it.
I'm just saying.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh my God, her name was Satine. Duh. I'm
Satine. Empress Satine. I remember because they sound like crackers. Satine crackers. Like saltine crackers.
Duchess, but yeah.
That's just
Satine. That's saltines right here.
Whoa, that was weird coincidence. What you doing with that many crackers?
Listen. I gotta have sustenance for these recordings.
All right. All right, so the Mandalorian starts heading off to find this ancient place, and I think he goes back to Navarro, right?
So they don't show him, like, where he's going, right? Because, like, he tells the uncle mechanics, like, start fixing the droid.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get through the memory chip.
Yep.
But he also does, like, a sidebar to talk to Bo-Katan. But, like, what I really like is, like, this show, like, this season is just like all of the other seasons where, you know, Mando's going on all these random quests.
Right.
And you're just like, what the hell is going on in this show? But it's all, like, super fascinating and interesting because he finds himself in these weird situations. And he's just like, okay, I'll deal with this now. And he, like, moves on, you know? So I really enjoy, like, it's like, like a Western, like a heist kind of show. Like, there's so many different things going on.
Yeah, it's almost even like a video game where you got to do a bunch of side quests and you get all the right tools and then you do the main quest, right?
So it definitely
has a fun feel. It had a great buildup.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with the Boba Fett show, but every single thing the Mandalorian is in is fantastic, right? Even the Book of Boba, the two episodes that he's in were my favorite, right? So it's like not even close.
Okay, so I also don't know why they called it the Book of Boba Fett, which, like, again, the huge nostalgia factor. Maybe they're trying to get, like, Gen X and Boomer viewers to watch, like, Boba Fett or whatever. But, like, that was clearly, like, season 2.5 of The Mandalorian. And they could have just said this is season 2.5 or, like, season 3.
The people who did not watch The Book of Boba Fett have no idea how Grogu and Mandalorian got back together.
Correct. And I've been telling people, they're like, oh no, I'm only watching The Mandalorian. I don't watch any other Star Wars thing. I was like, well, you better watch Book of Boba Fett because they're like, does Mando show up? And I'm like, let's just watch the show.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Like, trust me, you don't want to start season three. I think also it's just really cool, like, you know, like, we know they're gonna lead us around like all over the place before like all comes together beautifully. I just can't wait to see what happens.
How many episodes do we know they're gonna have? Is it six again, or is it more?
I hope it's supposed to be more. There's no way.
I hope it's more. But usually six is what they give us.
I thought like sometimes they give eight, but I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Eight episodes.
Okay. Eight's not too bad.
Okay.
Because Disney for a while was giving us six of everything, and it was definitely not enough.
Right.
No,
right.
That was very annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to say about this show, which I thought was interesting, right? Because they're like touching upon like, you know, like you said, like the Easter eggs. Like, I thought it was very smart of them to finally bring the pirates back in, because like Disney has the Millennium Falcon ride, right? Like the smugglers run with the main Lakandu or whatever his name is, pirate, you know? So they're just like sort of tying all the pieces together to just like really solidify their business plan. You know, so like you're really like, oh, I'm going to go to Disney and I'm going to go on this ride, which is like the show. And, you know, everything's all interconnected. They're so smart.
That would make a lot of sense. And as a Disney stockholder, that makes me happy that there's more reason for people to go to the parks and spend money.
Yep.
I mean, the Galaxy's Edge is like really well done. It's super, super well done. If you guys haven't been, it's amazing.
I definitely want to go to Galaxy Edge and Avengers Campus. They both look a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't been to Avengers Campus yet, but maybe I'll go this year.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to stay away from Disney. I went to the parks three times in the past 8 months, and that's just not on purpose. It's just too many times.
Wow. Thank you for, you know, providing them for some income.
You're welcome.
The profit sharing thanks you. Oh, man. All right, cool. I'm really excited for this. I'm glad that they're focusing on the Mandalorian characters and not bringing in, like, these, you know, fan service characters to make people happy. I think Hondo would be a great addition to this, but I purposely do not want to see another Skywalker. I think I'm good.
Yes.
I think I'm
Please
good.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. I feel like anything with a Skywalker in it is probably like the worst of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in their family drama. Like, of all the movies, Rogue One is still my favorite. And guess what? Zero Skywalkers. Zero.
Yep, and Andor is my favorite show. Zero Skywalkers.
Like,
Andor was so good, man. It was the best show to actually make you understand why the Empire is bad. Without that show, you don't have like the essence of like why fascism is wrong. And I really, really love that show. And I can't believe a lot of people gave up on that show. I highly recommend everybody go back and watch it. It doesn't have anything to do with The Mandalorian, so you can still watch The Mandalorian.
People gave up on Andor?
A lot of people.
You know what? You know why? Because it's like a different...
Yeah.
It's like a really slow burn, you know? And, like, you have to be really patient to watch, like, what's going on. And, like these shows, like, the Mandalorian shows and, like, the Star Wars movies in general, they start out with action immediately. Like, every single movie starts in the middle of a fight scene.
Yep.
But, like, Andor is not like that.
No.
No.
Learn about, like, you know.
But what they do is they spend two episodes building stuff up, and then there's a payoff in the third. Then two more episodes building stuff up and a payoff in the third. And the people who don't like waiting for the payoff don't like it.
Yeah.
They don't enjoy delayed gratification, which delayed gratification is what makes these shows amazing. Even in Marvel, people want, like, the big action scene now, but sometimes you have to wait for it. Like, I tell people, like, if you watch Age of Ultron and Captain America picked up the hammer at the end of Age of Ultron, it would have been like, cool, but eh. But then when you had to wait 10 years for that scene to happen in Endgame, the buildup, like the callback, it was so beautiful. You sometimes you just gotta have that delayed gratification.
Right. And I have two supporting points to that. One is the Eternals. A lot of people didn't like the Eternals because also, like, super slow burn.
Yes.
It wasn't like a punch 'em, grab 'em, fight 'em up kind of movie, you know? Like, and people were just like, what's going on? What's going on in this movie? And it was, like, again, like a really, like, visually beautiful, but very different movie,
very,
you know?
Beautiful movie.
Which was like, if you didn't watch any other Marvel movie, A, you wouldn't know that this is a Marvel movie. You'd just be like, okay, cool. This is like some superhero stuff, whatever. Amazing. And then the second one is Dune. A lot of people didn't enjoy the Dune movie for the same reason, because it was very slow, very gentle, beautiful cinematography. And they're just like, what's going on? And you have like the one fight scene at the end, and they're like, I don't know, this is not for me. And I'm like, don't you understand what's going on? It's amazing.
It's a trilogy. So,
people said the same thing about the first Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. They're like, what happened? They just went on a walk in the forest and it's over? Like, they didn't get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. It's about friendship, guys.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of friendship, thank you so much for coming on this episode. We had a great time talking to you.
Of course. As always,
we are hoping that the next time you come on, we'll be even bigger. You're going to be our bookmark to see how big we've gotten. Because we had zero followers when we started with you. And now we have like hundreds. And then next time we're going to have
thousands.
And then we're going to have 10,000. And we're not going to pay you for any of it.
Well, listen, I'm going to start like looking after your follower count and be like, this is my speaker's fee, okay? Like, this is the hijabi appearance fee. When we're talking about the Mandalorian.
Once we cross 50,000, okay?
Yes, that's right. Once we get
full-time sponsor. No, this is so great. No, look, it's so great that you guys have done this podcast and kept it going for so long. You know, I know a lot of people really enjoy it, but love to come back anytime. This was super fun.
Yeah, this is our 139th episode, right, Jazz?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yep.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot of episodes. That's a lot of homework.
That's like 2 to 3 episodes a week.
I know.
That's a lot of money.
But like, you know what? Here's the thing. Here's what I feel about it. If you're going to do something and you're good at it, don't do it for free. So I'm like, me and Jazz just watch so much TV and we're putting that to work. And one day we're going to get paid for it.
One day.
And you know what? I'd also like to add, if you like doing something, it doesn't matter if you're good at it or not. Keep doing it, all right?
That is true. That is true, because I'm very mediocre at hosting, so I'm glad you said that.
Oh, that wasn't meant to be a snub, but like, this is
no,
super great.
I completely agree with you. Because if white people can be mediocre and succeed, so can I.
Let's be mediocre Browns together. Yeah,
that's when you know we've made it. When brown people can be mediocre and still succeed, that's how you know we've made it.
Right. Totally.
I mean, I could make the argument for Mindy Kaling here.
Whoa.
Oh. There's a lot to unpack there. I don't know that I want to
tune in next
the Mandalorian
time.
That's a whole nother episode.
Right. Bring me back for that one, because I have a lot to say. Right?
Oh, we will. We actually were talking about doing it. We just couldn't get people on it. But Mindy Kaling, we have a lot of thoughts about her. With the Velma show,
so
sex lives of teenage girls or whatever it is, or college girls.
Yeah.
She is a complex person, let's just say.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Absolutely. Yeah, no, but this is super fun, and you know, I wish you both continued success in this podcast, and can't wait to see like how the rest of the Mandalorian unfolds.
Yes, and before we go, please tell people where they can find you, because you do a lot of cosplays, which are super cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on all the socials at Hilalipop, Hilalipop. I do a lot of hijab integrated cosplay, and I'm definitely feeling the High Magistrate's outfit, so maybe I'll work on that this year. I don't know what my cosplays are yet. I also review makeup and snack food really informally on my Instagram stories.
Ooh.
So if you are curious about what I think about Oreos, I will tell you. So, Oreo, please sponsor me. I eat a lot of your products.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I already know what my cosplay is going to be this year.
Oh, what is?
It's going to be Baskin Robbins Scott Lang from Quantumania.
I love it.
That's going to be my cosplay.
Oh, and I usually go to New York Comic Con. So, if you all go to New York Comic Con, say hello to me. Tell me you listen to the podcast. That'll be awesome.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you so much. And everybody else, thank you for joining. Don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe, leave a review. And don't forget to check out, we're going to be doing Mandalorian episodes every Wednesday. So check us out at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.